and welcome to the Freestyle podcast series, bringing you real stories from those living with diabetes. We hear about the challenges they face and hope to provide some inspiration for living your best life. I'm Claudine, and today we're stepping into the ring with Muhammad Ali. He wasn't named after the legendary boxer, but says it was his name that helped lead him into the sport. He's now the first licensed professional boxer living with type 1 diabetes, boxing under the nickname of the Diabetic Kid. Please remember that before making any changes to your diabetes management, discuss these with your healthcare team first. So hi, Muhammad. Welcome to the Freestyle podcast. We're really excited to have you with us today.
Hiya, Claudine. Thank you for having me on your show.
So here we are, a professional boxer called Muhammad Ali. But is that what your parents had in mind when they named you?
No, I've got no family history of boxing. Funny enough, my dad just supports me in boxing, but he absolutely hates the sport. It's my mum who originally took me to the boxing gym. Now he's supporting me as I'm, you know, doing so well in boxing, but he don't like the sport.
Let's look back at your diagnosis. You were diagnosed when you were 5 years old?
Yeah, between 4 and 5.
And what do you remember about the early years of having type 1 diabetes?
I don't remember being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, but my mum said, as my fellow diabetics would know, when you're suffering from a hypoglycemia, when your sugar levels have dropped very low, you're not in control of your body. And I was acting like in a silly way. My mum had never seen me act in such a way, so she got in contact with the ambulance. So the ambulance came to the house and they took me to the hospital and diagnosed me with type 1 diabetes. My mum had never seen me do such things.
That's amazing that she managed to spot that, and then obviously the NHS picked up that it was diabetes. And then did they diagnose you really quickly then?
Yeah, my mum saw, when I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, she said I lost a lot of weight rapidly, and my mum and dad had to educate themselves about diabetes, you know, pretty fast because I was at a young age.
Obviously, your mum and dad at that point, and now, you know, you've mentioned how your dad follows you around the country and watches you box everywhere. So how are they as a support network?
To be honest with you, my dad is like, he's my biggest fan. He's never missed a fight. We had a deal when I was 18. I said to my dad, look, I'm old enough to turn into a professional boxer. And he said, no, you won't be turning professional now. You've got to complete your degree. And if you complete your degree, I'll support you in your boxing career. So I went to university then, Edge Hill. And my mum, she's always been backing me. She's, you know, since the start, you know, since being 4 years old, in any sport I've took part in, my mum's always backed me. My dad's backed me as well. Let's not get this twisted up.
But also with the challenges of having diabetes, obviously, how's the support network been around you? Because when you're diagnosed, it's not just you. It's a whole family are diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Yes. So when I was first diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, I speak to my mum about it regularly now, because on social media, I receive a lot of messages from parents asking, how does your mother and father support you with your diabetes? You're always speaking about your mother and father. And I asked my mum, and my mum said, look, we suffered from depression. We thought we'd done something wrong, you know, for you to be diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. When parents ask me for advice, I speak to my mum and my dad. I'm like, how can I respond, you know, to parents? They need some support. You guys have been, you know, you've brought me up with diabetes. What advice can I give? And they said, you know, just educate yourself about diabetes. I remember as a youngster, my mum became like best friends with the nurse. They became very good friends. They'd be on the phone to each other asking, you know, how to improve my health. Because back then, let's not forget, there were no such thing as a Freestyle Libre sensor. There was pricking your finger. You know, like, for example, the injections have changed now. It's the pens and the 4 millimeter needles. Back then they were 12 millimeters, and we'd inject into an insulin bottle, you know, to measure the insulin in the insulin, you know, in the actual injection. And my mum would inject herself first to see if it's painful or not, and then she'd inject me. And that's what my mum and dad have been through. I remember once as a youngster, we're playing football, and my mum would come and you know, watch me. Also, they put me into sport, so I stay disciplined with my diet and my diabetes, my sugar levels stay within control. So I remember I played for the Sunday League team, and my mum would sit on the sideline and watch me, and she said I was suffering from a hypoglycemia on the pitch. So imagine kids at the age of 8 playing football, and a lady comes running onto the pitch, and she said she fed me, like, gave me Lucozade, she gave me a Mars bar, brought me back round, and then they had to take me home. I remember my dad then, you know, banning me from playing football for a bit of time, you know, for a few weeks, saying, look, I'm not taking control of my food intake. And I remember my mum and dad just, even till this day, always watching what I'm eating. If I'm eating, like, for example, I'm an adult now. If I'm eating something bad, my mum would, it does my head in sometimes. Like, for example, if I'm having a packet of crisp or a chocolate bar, she'd be like, you know, that's not good for you. Have you checked your sugar levels? Or have you had your insulin? Like, yeah, I've had everything. Just calm down.
No, that's really, it's lovely to hear you reminiscing of, you know, your mum running onto the pitch and saving you.
Like, what's this crazy lady doing?
But one thing you did touch on there that I'm keen to chat to you about is the connotations, I guess, around type 1 diabetes. Because I think in general, diabetes does still have a stigma around it, that it's people who maybe aren't as fit as could be or are eating the wrong things. And obviously, we know that's not the case. You seem to have alluded to the fact that that's something that your mum and dad kind of carried with them as a burden, that, you know, they'd done something wrong for you to have type 1 diabetes. So how would you come at that?
My best advice would be, like, my mum, she became very close with my nurse, you know, the healthcare professionals, and they deserve massive respect. They don't get enough, you know, respect, you know, the NHS staff. Like, for example, on Twitter, if there's any problems, I'd put a status out and the doctors would respond within minutes. You know, the healthcare professionals on Twitter as well. And for example, what my advice would be to the parents out there is educate yourself about diabetes. Like, what my mum and dad, when I was a youngster, what they did was they'd read about diabetes, you know, what foods are good for example, for myself. They'd always measure my sugar levels. They'd speak to the dietitians during my appointments. And like I said, my mum became very close with my nurse.
So you've also talked about how your parents aren't boxing fans, and you said your mum was the first person to take you to the boxing club. So what made you choose boxing?
What happened was, as a youngster, I played football, I played cricket, I took part in karate, but I didn't really enjoy myself. Do you know, like, for example, my dad took me to take part in karate for over 10 years and I absolutely hated the sport. But he wasn't bothered. He just wanted me disciplined and taking control of my sugar levels. That's the only reason he had me taking part in karate. But when it came to the football, for example, if we'd lose on the weekend, we'd blame each other for the defeat. And I'm very competitive. And in boxing, if you're defeated, you're only yourself to blame, because it's only you and your opponent taking part within the actual boxing bout. And so that's the reason I wanted to get involved in boxing, because I can't blame him or her, you know, for the loss, except myself.
So when you started fighting, what were the big challenges that the type 1 kind of threw up?
For example, I had to monitor my diet more than ever. You know, being involved in such a high-intensity sport, I've got to be on top of my diet from a very, very young age. I remember before I'd go to my boxing session, I'd check my sugar levels. During the boxing session, I'd check my sugar levels. And post-training, I'd check my sugar levels.
It's really interesting, because we spoke to an endurance athlete. They struggle with the long term and the heat element of the exercise, whereas I guess boxing's more explosive. So that's going to be different problems that you're going to face.
What happens with me is, for example, when I'm doing my strength training, where I'm working at my maximum, like lifting weights, my sugar levels go up, which is normal. So I've got to take insulin, you know, prior to the session, an extra few units, you know, to balance my sugar levels. And whereas, like, for example, if I'm doing a cardio session, like a long run, I've got to reduce my insulin intake. So with like the reduction in insulin and increasing my insulin, it's about educating myself and getting to know my body better.
Wow, it's definitely an art. And I know, having spoken to quite a few different people, they say, you know, and you'll know as well, one day is very different from the other. You could be doing
Absolutely.
exactly the same training.
That's I'm blessed of having the Freestyle Libre sensor. It helps massively because I can keep a close eye, you know, on my sugar levels, if it's going up, if it's going down. You know, with technology, like I said, from 22 years ago, it's changed massively.
So we've touched on briefly when you became a professional, we had your first professional fight, but it's been quite a journey for you to get a license to fight professionally. Can you tell us about some of the challenges that you've had?
I remember turning, graduating from university, and I had the deal with my father. Once I graduate, I can turn professional in boxing. So, 2014, I graduated. 2015, I turned professional. I was 2 weeks out from making my professional boxing debut, and I was driving up to the gym, and I get a call from my manager at the time, and he said, "Ali, have they got something mixed up here? Are you diabetic, type 1 diabetic?" I was like, "Yeah, what's wrong with that?" I did my annual, as a boxer, you've got to do your annual medical. So I said to him, last week when I passed my medicals, I wrote it on the consent form that I'm type 1 diabetic. And he goes, "Yeah, they've rejected your license." So I got to the gym, and the trainer comes over to me, and he starts hugging me, and he's like, "Ali, I didn't know you were type 1 diabetic." And I was like, "What do you want me to do? I've diabetes printed on my forehead. You don't need to know if I'm diabetic or not. You know, I control it in such a good way." And it's like, "You're so fit and healthy. How are you diabetic?" I was heartbroken. My trainer was heartbroken because I was flying in training. And that was it. Boxing came to an end. And then I went to see my consultant, and I was heartbroken. I was like, "Doctor, I need your help, you know." And he said, "Right, there's a doctor who's in the sporting field, and he's worked with Sir Steve Redgrave, Dr. Ian Gallen. I'm going to refer you to him. Go and have a meeting with him and see if he can help you." And I said, "Right, it's worth going to him." So I've gone up, and I remember this day like yesterday. I've had the appointment with Dr. Gallen, and he said, "Look, Sir Steve Redgrave was out in the open sea. The paramedics were up in a helicopter, you know, in a helicopter, whereas you've got paramedics ringside. You're fit, you're healthy. You should be getting your license. You know, if anything goes wrong in the ring, the paramedics are ringside. It'll take them seconds to get in the ring to help you." And I was like, "Doctor, but they're saying I can't measure my sugar levels, you know, in the ring." And he's, "I can't take my glove off and prick my finger onto a machine within a minute and then rewrap my gloves and wraps." And he's like, "No, technology's moved on." And he's the one who introduced me to the Freestyle Libre sensor. And he said, "Look, there's a sensor, and it'll take seconds, you know, to measure your sugar levels." And I remember sitting in, finishing that appointment. I rang my trainer. I said, "I'm gonna get my license," and he was absolutely buzzing. But he was happy, but he was thinking, "We've heard this before, and he's really not gonna get his license." And I was like thinking the same. I was like thinking, "I am gonna get my license. I'm not gonna get my license." I was like juggling, and we've got a meeting with the board now. Showed them the sensor, and they were absolutely happy. They said, "You're good to go." I got my boxing license. Now I'm 6-0 as a professional.
That's fantastic. So obviously you get a lot of buzz. You can tell when you're talking about how much boxing means to you. What's it like when you step into the ring, and you know, why do you keep doing it?
I absolutely love the sport. Like, for example, we were training technically, working with my coach on technique, and it was like, it was amazing, like how to punch somebody and not get punched yourself, moving your head at the right time, moving your feet at the right time so your body's not getting touched. And it's a sweet science boxing. It's a beautiful sport. I give it 110% every single training session. I'm very competitive. I hate losing. So when I get in that ring, I've given it my all in training.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely a lot of psychological aspect, isn't there, to getting in the boxing ring?
I do get, like, I'd be lying to you if I say I don't get nervous before fights. I do get nervous, but I'll be going into the ring confidently because I've given it my all, and I know I'm going to win at the end because I've given it my all in training, and I know my opponent's not trained as hard as me.
That's such a great attitude to have. Something else that you've obviously touched on is how you you measure out your food, and you're very regimented with the way that you manage your diabetes. Can you just tell us a bit more about how your type 1 management works?
I don't like to call it diet. I'd like to say I'm consuming good foods. And when I'm consuming good foods, I've got to reduce my insulin intake. What my professionals, you know, they take me over it, how to go about taking my insulin. And so, for example, this morning I woke up at 7. I had 70 grams of oats, my protein whey scoop off protein. I had peanut butter added. I had milk, yeah, whole milk added. So I've measured the weight of the carbs, and then I've took my insulin and my basal. And then 2 hours later, I had my snack, I had that, and then I went training.
Yeah, it definitely sounds very regimented. Yeah, I guess it's a real happy balance to making sure that you tick
honestly,
all the right boxes.
People say to me, oh, as a diabetic, how can you box? I'm like, if it weren't for boxing, I think my diabetes would be out of control. Because look, I've just told you, I'm measuring all my foods. According to measurements of my food is how much insulin I'm taking. But when I'm not boxing, my diet's out of the window. I'm not thinking about my foods. I'm not bothered about my weight, which isn't good for me in the long run. So boxing helps me control my life, control my diabetes as well.
A lot of the people listening won't obviously have access to the elite team that you've got around you.
You know, like you said, elite team, but I do my research for these guys. Like, for example, this dietitian, I went out of my way to find him to maintain my diet, you know, help me with my diet. He's a private dietitian. Anybody can, you know, Google a dietitian. I always chop and change my dietitians, but I've actually built a good relationship with this dietitian who I'm currently working with because I'm enjoying the diet. It's about trial and error, you know, see what works for you.
So through all this research that you've done, and obviously the years that you've had managing a very disciplined regime, do you have any top tips for people that they could kind of do straight away?
Yeah, you know, for example, if you've got a really bad sweet tooth, like for example myself, don't cut chocolate out of your diet. You know, for example, tomorrow you're looking to become healthy. For example, if you eat a whole bar tomorrow, consume 3/4 of the bar, and then the following week consume half a chocolate bar, then the following week a quarter, and slowly bring it down. You know, we're human beings at the end of the day. We can't just have a chocolate bar snatched away from us and not replaced, you know, by something else. For example, how I've reduced my chocolate intake now is I have it once a week on a Sunday. And it's not the whole, I don't be consuming chocolate all day. I'll go out for a dessert, but only once. So make small changes, and they help you stay mentally strong as well. For example, me, I go mentally weak as well if I have something snatched away from myself. I end up not controlling my diabetes in a good manner. I've got to make small adjustments.
Great, that's a great piece of advice. And while we're talking about advice, obviously you've spoken to lots of different people over the years, and you've had different consultants and different healthcare teams. Is there one piece of advice that you've been given from anybody? It doesn't have to necessarily be a healthcare professional, that you've kind of held with you and you pass on now to other people?
I've been given a lot of advice. enjoy what you eat. If you enjoy what you eat, and get the measurements correct with your insulin, you're a winner. You know, as a diabetic, it's so important getting the calculations correct of the insulin intake according to the meal. Honestly, if you can get that balance right, I think all diabetics would be winners.
That's really interesting. And I mean, overall, you're such a positive person with how you manage your diabetes and obviously around boxing. There must be times when you're in the ring or in life where things aren't quite going your way. How do you change, you know, keep that positive mental attitude?
Do you know, in 2015, for example, when I had my boxing license, you know, taken away from me, I could see light at the end of the tunnel, but every healthcare professional I was speaking to, they were just like, it's going to be hard to get your boxing license. It's going to be very hard. But I kept my mind positive. You know, I saw in the back of my mind that I saw light at the end of the tunnel. I knew that I was going to get my boxing license, you know, one day. And when I get it, I'm going to help, you know, and show the diabetes world that you should never give up on achieving your dreams. We've just got to get our health, you know, in control, and our dreams are achievable.
So there was a time when you didn't tell your trainer about having type 1 diabetes, but now you go in the ring as the diabetic kid. Why did you decide to do that?
First and foremost, I'm a proud diabetic, and I'm in the boxing world, and I want to advertise myself as being diabetic. Do you know, anyone who's diabetic, I like to call them my family member, because I'm a diabetic, and if they're diabetic, I accept them as being like one of me. You know, we're diabetics, we're one family, and I'm absolutely proud. That's why I wear diabetes on my sleeve when I'm in the boxing ring, and that's why I've got it as my name, the Diabetic Kid.
Oh, that's fantastic. A great inspiration, I think, to loads of people listening. Well, the bell has gone, and that's the end of the final round. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mohammed, and sharing your story. It's been completely inspirational. If you want to follow Mohammed's career, you can find out more on his Instagram handle, at MohammedDKAli, or Twitter, where he's at MohammedAliBox. And if you want more information, then check out our fantastic education site, Freestyle Progress. There you can find the Freestyle Libre Academy, tutorial videos, webinars, the rest of this podcast series, and lots more. That's all online at progress.freestylediabetes.co.uk. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.